This is the word of the Lord from Luke 24, beginning in verse 13. That very day, two of them were going into a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him, and he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all these, this it is now the third day since these things has happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. What is it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Thus ends the reading of the word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever."
Thank you, Hollis. Folks, you have me today. Sorry about that. I do want to thank Erickson and his family for leading worship and being involved in all aspects of the ministry. And I want to thank you for being here this morning. You know what? Golly. Stand up, would you? I'm not very liturgical. I'm going to tell you right now. Liturgy. I grew up with liturgy, and I don't like it. I don't like it. So what I'm going to have you do, I'm going to have you turn around to the people around you and greet them and welcome them into the house of the Lord. Would you do that? Gets us a little bit relaxed, I think, a little bit relaxed. Let's go to the Lord in prayer once again. Father, we do thank you for your word. I thank you, God, for the reading of your word. And I just pray that today, by your Holy Spirit, you open your word up to us. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. The passage that was read here before us is one of the most moving narratives in the entire New Testament. Imagine for a moment, if you could go back in time, if you could just go back in time to one of the events that took place in biblical history, to what event would you go back to? Some of you may go back to the creation, when God spoke that word and the light of that ray came forth and brought light into that darkness. Amen. Some of you may want to go back to Noah's day, when Noah and the animals safely gathered into the ark. Some of you may want to go back to the Moses' day and the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt and crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. might want to go back and see maybe David and Goliath, you know, and see what happened there. In fact, I've been praying that we would see a David and Goliath in this day with Russia and Ukraine. So what would you do? Maybe some of you would go back to the days of Jesus and his with the shepherds and in the manger scene. Maybe some of you would want to be there at the baptismal of Jesus, where the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove and the voice of the Father came forth. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Maybe you'd like to see the feeding of the 5,000. I don't know where you would go, but I think that one of the most moving events in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ was the appearance of Jesus to these two disciples on the road to Emmaus, when Jesus walked with them, he talked with them, and he supped with them. Praise God. I think this is one of the greatest events that we have in the life of our Lord. The story of this of the two disciples is only given to us in Luke. The disciples walked with Jesus. They encountered Jesus that resurrection day, that afternoon, as they were traveling to Emmaus. Last Sunday, Pastor, and I, just following up a little bit on what he said, that on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, certain women went to the tomb, and they found the stone rolled away. They entered into the tomb, but the body of Jesus wasn't there. But two men stood there in shining garments, the Bible says. And they were the women were afraid. But the angel said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember," now keep track of that, okay? We're going to come back to that several times here. The angel said, "Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" And then the Bible says, "And they," that is the women, "remembered his words." Now that to me is amazing, for this simple fact. The two disciples walking with Jesus to Emmaus, they did not remember that he said he would raise the third day. They did not remember at all, but the women remembered. And it says they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. And you know what? And their words seemed to them like idle words. "What are you talking about? You women don't know what's going on." Can you imagine the very first people that received the message of the resurrection of Jesus Christ were the women. The very first evangelists to preach the resurrection of Jesus Christ were the women. And these men, not even the 11 disciples believed them. They thought it was idle words. Man, oh man. Peter, he ran to the tomb, went in, and sure enough, no body was there. But he said he believed, or he didn't believe, he marveled that the clothes were lying there. Now, the idea there is from what I was reading in some of the commentaries and some of the things is that the clothes were there very uniformly. In other words, it was like a cocoon that the body had come out and the clothes just kind of collapsed on themselves. They were orderly. It was not like he unwrapped himself and threw it down. They just collapsed. Peter looked at it and he says he was mystified. He didn't know what to think about it. And he went away. So we pick up, and I'm going to ask you to get your Bibles. You know, I could preach anything out of here. And if you don't have your Bible, if you don't know what I'm talking about, I could tell you anything. And you guys could walk out of here and say, "Yeah, pathetic. I was always taught, from the very first time that I got saved, praise God, bring your Bible. You don't want to go to war without your sword. Right? Follow along with me. Verse 13, it says, now behold, and I'm reading from the New King James. You have the English Standard Version, but you can follow along. Now behold, two disciples were traveling the same day. This is that afternoon of Resurrection Day. The same day that the women had gone to the tomb. That same day that they had gone and told the disciples that Jesus had been risen, that Jesus had risen from the dead. That same day, to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things to which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now here they are. They're talking about the things that happened that day, the things that were going on, the things that happened during that whole week from the time that he entered into Jerusalem, the triumphant entry into Jerusalem, until the time that he was crucified, buried. Now it's the third day. And then it says that, verse 15, so it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Can I have somebody get me a... Thank you, brother. I had a bunch of cotton in my mouth. It says that Jesus drew near them and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. Now, why were their eyes restrained? I'm not really sure about that. Thank you. Thank you, brother. It may have been because of their unbelief. They didn't believe. I'm not sure why their eyes were restrained other than this. I believe it was probably God. God in his plan and in his purpose, he did not allow them to see the resurrected Christ. Now, we don't know who these two men were other than one is called Cleopas. We don't really know much more about them. If this is the same Cleopas mentioned in John 19, then he was married to a woman named Mary. But we don't know. I'm not sure who this Cleopas is, but they were walking and talking about the things that had happened to Jesus during that week. Strange thing is, if you look at that, verse 17, and he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Some translation says that they stood still looking sad. Okay. Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days? Can I say that probably Jesus is the only one that knew what was going on in Jerusalem and what was happening? He's the only one that could tell you what it felt like to have the crown of thorns put upon his head and the nails put into his hands. He's the only one that could really tell you what happened in that tomb that time or that moment that the Holy Spirit came down and revived the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he came alive. He's the only one that could ever say that. And here's Cleopas saying, are you a stranger in town? You don't even know what's going on? And the person that was walking with them is the only one that could really tell them what it was all about. I'm amazed. And then notice verse 19. 19, and Jesus said to them, what things? I kind of look at that and I think of Jesus. He must have had a twinkle in his eye. He must have had a little smile on his face, you know, when he says, what things? What things are you talking about? Jesus has a sense of humor. I know that. So he says, what things? So they said to him, and now this is the gospel according to Cleopas. Okay? Cleopas. He says this, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, verse 19, who was a prophet, and he's correct, Jesus was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. True, Jesus was mighty in deed and in word. Verse 20, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. True. He didn't blame the Romans. He put the blame where the blame was at. Verse 21. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. They still had hopes in a political ruler. They wanted somebody to deliver them from Roman oppression. They were looking for a political ruler. And they said, we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. And indeed, besides all this, today is the third day. Now, that should have said something to them. They said, today is the third day. Now, remember back when the angels told the women that Jesus was going to raise on the third day? They remembered. Here, these disciples, he said, today is the third day that all this took place. We don't know what's going on. In fact, they went on to say, some of the women, they came back, they went to the tomb, and they came back, and they told us that he was alive. But we don't know. That's basically the whole idea here. We don't know what's going on. And they had the witness also of Peter that had gone there to the tomb, and they came back, and he said, his body's not there. It's not there. It's gone. And they still didn't comprehend. They still did not understand. Verse 22, yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of the angels who said, he is alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Wow. Then he said to them, O foolish ones, slow of heart, to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Some have commented and said, you know, when he said foolish ones, that he was actually rebuking them. I'm not so sure he was rebuking them. I was just saying, you guys are clueless. You guys are totally clueless. Jesus had been telling them throughout his ministry, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. As Jonah was in the belly of a big fish, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days. And he continued telling them the third day that he will rise up. Clueless. They mentioned this is the third day. This is the third day that all these things have happened, and now they say they can't find him in the tomb. We don't know what's going on. Then he said, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Two things there. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? That speaks of the cross. And to enter into his glory. That speaks of the resurrection, folks. Those two things. And then he went on to say, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, the thing that stands out to me there, why couldn't they see Jesus? I mean, they loved him, they knew him, they walked with him prior to his resurrection. They believed in him, but yet there he was walking with them in a resurrected body, and they couldn't see him. They didn't know who this man was. This is my take on it. Jesus had earlier in the Gospel of Luke, he said, even if someone was raised from the dead, they would not believe. But they have Moses and the prophets with them every day. Now Jesus is pointing back. He could have said, look at my resurrected body, but he didn't. What he said, he began to declare himself from Moses and the prophets and how they all speak of him. So verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all scripture the things concerning himself. Praise God. The gospel is in the Old Testament, folks. The gospel is in the Old Testament. There's no good news if Jesus had not raised from the dead. There's no good news if he had not been crucified. By his crucifixion, we have forgiveness of sin. By his resurrection, we have eternal life and the joy of eternal life. So we have it in the gospel. Jesus said they did not believe all that the prophets had spoken. Their theology did not have room for a suffering Messiah. Their theology did not have room for a resurrected Jesus Christ, for a resurrected Messiah. I would have loved to have been there that day that Jesus opened up the scriptures to them. Man, talk about having an explanation of the Word of God, of having the Word of God expounded. Man, that would have been, man, any event in history, give me this event. I want to hear what Jesus has to say, that throughout the Old Testament, all the way through, it speaks of him. He could have said, here's my resurrected body. But no, what he did is he stood there and he expounded the scriptures to them. Praise God. How many of you know that there's power in the Word of God? When I was saved, I'll tell you, I used to sit up late at night reading the Word of God, trying to get anything that I could from the Word of God. I would read it and read it and read it, go to bed, get up the next day. I'd go to work, but then I'd come home and read it, read it, read it. I wanted to understand. There is power in the Word of God. It can change your life because of Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus. Talk about that on Wednesday night. All about Jesus. What? It is all about Jesus. In Genesis, he is the seed of the woman that came to destroy the seed of the serpent. And crush his head. That happened at Calvary. Praise God. In Exodus, he is the Passover lamb that delivered the people from slavery. Jesus is our Passover. In Leviticus, he is the atonement, the sacrificial sacrifice that shed his blood. Jesus gave his blood for us. Praise God. In Numbers, he's the serpent that was put up on a pole. And that when people looked at covenant keeper to save those that were covenant breakers. Jesus is throughout the Old Testament. That's Moses, and you can take it and you can read it. Every page, Jesus is on there. Jesus' preaching was very biblical. It was based on the law and the prophets. His preaching was very thorough. It was Christ-centered. It was gospel-centered. It included both the resurrection and the crucifixion. Everywhere you look in the Old Testament, you find that. Jesus proclaimed the agonies of the cross and the glories of the empty tomb. See, if you don't have both, if you don't have his suffering, and if you don't have his glories, then we don't have anything. We need both. It was necessary for Jesus Christ to be crucified. It was also necessary for him to be glorified. Now, I don't know exactly what Jesus said. You know, we don't know that. But we still have the same word that he used to reveal to those disciples who he was. We still have that same word right here. It's all about him. Every part of the Old Testament finds its meaning and purpose in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul tells us in Colossians that it's only in Jesus that all things are held together. And this is true as well as in the Old Testament. We cannot really fully understand anything from Genesis to Malachi if Jesus is not the center of it. It will make no sense to you at all. One of the things that I'll tell you, no human can ever put the Bible together the way the Bible has been put together. No human could ever. I started looking at this and I started saying, wow. Way back here, Genesis chapter 3. The seed of the woman. I don't know about you guys, but you know the seed of the woman? That speaks to me of the virgin birth. And that he would crush the head of the serpent. That speaks to me of Jesus defeating the devil. But we don't see that until the New Testament. I used to look at these things. How can these things be? Why is it that they had to have a perfect lamb? A lamb without spot and without blemish. In sacrifice, they couldn't have any blemish at all. And yet that lamb had to give its blood, be sacrificed. Come into the New Testament. Jesus was without sin. He gave his blood. Now, human beings could not ever put a Bible together. These were all signposts in the Old Testament, pointing to our Lord Jesus Christ. Signposts, all of them. The Sabbath, Jesus said, you know what? He said, if you want rest, I am your rest. Take my yoke upon you. Take my burden, and I will give you rest. The Sabbath pointed to Jesus. He said, I am the bread of life. They took the bread and they put it into the bread of the tabernacle. They put it in there. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. The lampstand that flickered in there. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Oh, praise God. I don't know about you guys. Doesn't it? You need to get excited. I think of these things and I get so excited. I say, God, only you can do these things. Only you can put them together. Only you can bring it all about. Yes, it is all about. I just want to come out. I'll lift my hands every now and then, but you know what? Randy, what is it? You can't scare me with heaven. You can't scare me with heaven. Right, Randy? So you look at all that and you say, well, what about the prophets? What do they say? Well, read the prophets. I'm not going to take time here to go through all of that, but read the prophets. What about the Psalms? In Psalm 22, he will die a God-forsaken death. Psalm 22, you know what it says in there? My God, why have you forsaken me? All the way over now to Jesus upon the cross. What does he say? My God, why have you forsaken me? Psalm 22, he thirsted. Jesus said, I thirst. Psalm 22 says, they pierced me. They pierced my hands and my feet. New Testament, Jesus was pierced in his hands and on his feet. Man put all that together? I don't think so. The whole Bible's all about our Lord Jesus Christ. We see him in everything in the Old Testament, every page. Jesus could have taken any page in the Old Testament. And by the way, the only scriptures they had, they didn't have the New Testament. The only scriptures they had was the Old Testament. And Jesus took the Old Testament, and from Genesis all the way to Malachi, Jesus spoke about himself. Man, I would have loved to have been there. I would have, I'll tell you, any event in all of history, I would have loved to have been there and listened to Jesus as he expounded the Word of God and telling them about himself. Every page. We could sit here today and we could start in Genesis, folks. And I don't think in our lifetime we'd finish all things that speak about Jesus. Praise God. Again, let me just say that I think Jesus knew that his resurrected body would not be enough. Yeah, he resurrected, but he didn't say, look at me. I believe God didn't let them see that until he expounded the scriptures to them. It would have been so good to see the incarnate Word of God expound the written Word of God. Oh man, that would have been great. I would have loved that. We have the same word today. The word that Jesus spoke was good enough for Jesus. It was good enough for the apostles. It was good enough for Philip. It was good enough for Peter and Paul. In fact, all of them, you're going to find that they all go back to Scripture. Let me ask you a question this morning. Is the Word of God enough for you? Randy was mentioning this morning that he gets up at, what time was it? 3:30 in the morning? 5:30 in the morning. And he begins to open the Word of God. And he reads 5 chapters a day, he was mentioning. Do we open the Word of God? There's power in the Word of God because it speaks to us. God, go with me to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that it speaks to us in such a living way. Father, we need to hunger after the word. The writer of Hebrews tells us, for the word of God is a living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Father, I just pray, God, that we not only read the word as just something to read, Lord, but Father, to be able to see your Son, Jesus Christ, and how he accomplished not only our forgiveness through the cross, but how he accomplished, oh God, eternity for us, a joyful eternity. We give you praise today in Jesus.